Paramahansa Paribrajakacharya Stotra Shat Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Grantaraya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Itai Guru Primanande Haribo. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 16, Text 2. The chapter is entitled Praise of King Prithu by the Professional Reciters. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nalam vayante mahimanu varnane yo deva varyo vatatara mayaya yo deva varyo vatatara mayaya Venanga jatasya cha paurushanite Venanga jatasya cha paurushanite Vachaspati nam api babhramudyah Vachaspati nam api babhramudyah Nalam vayante mahimanu varnane Yo deva varyo vatatara mayaya Venanga jatasya cha paurushanite Vachaspatinam api babhramurdhyah Nalam vayante mahimanu varnane Yodeva Varyo Vatatara Mayaya. Venanga Jatasya Chapaurushanite. Vachaspatinam Abhibabramurdiyaha. Nalam vayante mahimanu varnane yodeva varyo vatatara mayaya venanga jatasya cha paurushanite vachaspatinam api babramurdhyaha. Nalam vayante mahimanu varnane yo deva varyo vatatara mayaya venanga jatasya cha paurushanite vachaspatinam api babramurdhyaha. Nalam vayante mahimanu varnane yo deva varyo vatatara mayaya venanga jatasya cha paurushanite vachaspatinam api babramurdhyaha. Mataji? Nalam vayante mahimanu varnane yo deva varyo vatatara mayaya venanga jatasya cha paurushanite vachaspatinam api babramurdhyaha. Word for word, na'alam, not able, vayam, we, tin, your, mahima, glories, anuvarnane, indescribing, yaham, you who, devam, the personality of Godhead, Varyaham, foremost, Avatataram, descended, Mayayam, by his internal potencies, or causeless mercy, Vena Angam, from the body of King Vena, Jatasyam, who have appeared, Cham and Paurushani, glorious activities, Tim of you, Vacha Patinam, of great orators, Api, although Babramuhu became bewildered, Diyaha, the minds. Translation, purport by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The reciters continue, dear King, you are a direct incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, and by his causeless mercy, you have descended on this earth. Therefore, it is not possible for us to actually glorify your exalted activities. Although you have appeared through the body of King Vena, even great orators and speakers like Lord Brahma and other demigods cannot exactly describe the glorious activities of your lordship. Please repeat. The reciters continue.
Dear King,
you are a direct incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. And by His causeless mercy, you have descended on this earth. Therefore, it is not possible for us to actually glorify your exalted activities. Although you have appeared through the body of King Vena, even great orators and speakers, like Lord Brahma and other demigods, cannot exactly describe the glorious activities of your Lordship. Purport. In this verse, the word Mayaya means by your causeless mercy. The Mayavadi philosophers explain the word Maya as meaning illusion or falseness. However, there is another meaning of Maya, that is causeless mercy. There are two kinds of Maya, Yoga Maya and Mahamaya. Mahamaya is an expansion of Yoga Maya. In both these mayas are different expressions of the Lord's internal potencies. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord appears through His internal potencies, Atma Mayaya. We should therefore reject the Mayavada explanation that the Lord appears in a body given by the external potency, the material energy. The Lord and His incarnation are fully independent and can appear anywhere and everywhere by virtue of the internal potency. Although born out of the so-called incarnation of the Supreme Godhead by the Lord's internal potency. The Lord can appear in any family. Sometimes He appears as a fish incarnation, Matsya Avatara, or a boar incarnation, Varaha Avatara. Thus the Lord is completely free and independent to appear anywhere and everywhere by His internal potency. It is stated that Ananta, an incarnation of the Lord, who has unlimited mouths, cannot reach the end of His glorification of the Lord. Has been describing the Lord. So what to speak of demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and others? It is said that the Lord is Shiva Virin Chinutam, always worshipped by demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. If the demigods cannot find adequate language to express the glories of the Lord, then what to speak of others? Consequently, reciters like the Sutan and Magadha felt inadequate to speak about King Prithu. By glorifying the Lord with exalted verses, one becomes purified. Although we are unable to offer prayers to the Lord in an adequate fashion, our duty is to make the attempt in order to purify ourselves. It is not that we should stop our glorification because demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot adequately glorify the Lord. Rather, as stated by Prahlad Maharaj, everyone should glorify the Lord according to his own ability. If we are serious and sincere devotees, the Lord will give us the intelligence to offer prayers properly. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girin Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam. The reciters continued, Dear King, you are direct incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, and by His causeless mercy you have descended on this earth. Therefore, it is not possible for us to actually glorify your exalted activities, although you have appeared through the body of King Vena, Even great orators and speakers like Lord Brahma and other demigods cannot exactly describe the glorious activities of your lordship. So the word Maya is used here, and Prabhupada is pointing out that Maya has many translations. So it's very common to hear Maya being explained as illusion or falseness or even illusion personified as Durga, right? So Maya is a form of Durga and people worship her as the personification of material illusion and the mistress of the material energy. So that's one meaning of Maya. But Prabhupada is pointing out that there are many meanings for the word Maya. As in Sanskrit, there are so many meanings for different, for practically every word. So Maya also means mercy, means compassion, also means knowledge, wisdom, means energy. So all these different meanings are there. And you have to understand them according to the context. So here, Vishvanathacharya Thakura clearly states, his commentary on this verse is very short. He just says, in this verse, Maya means by mercy. So the Mayavadis, they try to translate Maya in this context as illusion. So they say, you see, here even the Supreme Lord, when he comes to this world, he has to take a material body and he becomes like one of us, and he's under the control of material elements. Now his body is made of material elements. So they think like that. It's saying here, he avatatara mayaya. He descended by the potency of maya in the sense of illusion, or he's under the control of the material energy. So that's a great misunderstanding that Prabhupada is pointing out here. The Lord is coming to this world, and the same point is made in the Bhagavad Gita. Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. Krishna says, I come by Atma Maya. And that means by compassion, that means also by his internal potency, and that also means by Atma Maya, means with complete knowledge. Because one of the meanings of Maya, as I said just now, is also wisdom. Wisdom, knowledge, supernatural power, all these are meanings of Maya. So when Krishna says, Sambhavami Atma Maya, he's not saying I'm coming to this world under the influence of Maya, illusion. Right? Because the conditioned soul, out of illusion, they come to this world, and because of the influence of Maya, they are identifying themselves with the material body made of material ingredients. But the Lord, when he comes, Atma Maya means with full knowledge. We come with full ignorance, right? Because we cannot remember, even for a fraction of a moment, we cannot remember our constitutional position. So Nityabada means we're constantly under the covering of Maya. Maya is like a covering, it's like a curtain, no? Maya Javani Kachanam. The jiva is covered, there is a curtain, and the spiritual reality is covered for us. So we cannot see at any moment who we are, and what is our relationship with Krishna. We cannot understand, we cannot have even a glimpse of the spiritual world. Because if we wouldn't have a glimpse, then we wouldn't be willing to stay here. When the creation takes place, Lord Brahma creates the universe, the first thing he has to do, even though he doesn't like to do that, but the first thing he has to do is to create ignorance. He creates five layers of ignorance. He makes the living entity forget who he is. He makes him identify with his material body and hanker for material enjoyment. Like that, he creates five different layers of ignorance, avidya. And that's what keeps us in the material world. So for us, we are here because of Maya in the sense of illusion that covers us. But the Lord, when he comes, Atma Mayaya, means he comes with full knowledge, full spiritual knowledge. And also means Atma Maya in the sense that he comes through his internal potency, his internal energy. And means also he comes out of his compassion, causeless mercy. So all this is there in the same word, Atma Mayaya. But this meaning, only this meaning, by illusion, that you cannot take. No? Because that doesn't fit the Siddhanta, that doesn't fit the conclusion. The Lord cannot come because He is the master of Maya. So how can He become under the control of Maya? So that understand that interpretation of the Mayavadi philosophers, it's not acceptable. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur makes this point, Prabhupada emphasizes that. So we can extend this concept of Maya and try to understand the place we live in, right? We are living in Mayapur. So Mayapur means the city of Maya. Right? So many people can understand this name in different ways. Some people may think, yes, here is the place of Maya because there are so many worshippers of Durga in this region here. So that's why it's Mayapur. It's the city of Maya. And that's right. We have Prauda Maya, the presiding deity of the place. No? She used to be here in Mayapur, and then Mayapur was flooded for hundreds of years, 300 years or so. So, which the Bengalis call Porama, she was taken to the other side of the Ganga. Right? She's there in Navadvip. There's the famous Porama, Porama Tala. Right? So, that's Prauda Maya. And Jnani Vasu Prabhu was explaining another day that for 300 years the place was covered by the Ganga. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, Mayapur was flooded by Ganga. And then after that, Ganga is going to move here and there and change the course many times. And finally it will become steady, and then again Mayapur will flourish. Should I keep, if I keep distant? Okay. Is it better if I sit back? How is it now? Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for pointing out in the beginning. So, Prauda Maya was taken there, but then after 500 years, it was predicted that again Mayapur will flourish and Prauda Maya will come back. So there's the devotees are trying not to bring the deity back. Like now in Jagannath Mandir, Jnani Vasu Prabhu is trying to establish the temple of Durga, Vimala Devi. Or her name will be Simantini Devi, right? Because when she comes back here, then Mayapur will flourish again. So what's the meaning of Mayapur? If you take all these different meanings that the acharyas give us, that even you can find in the Sanskrit dictionaries, we can understand that Mayapur is not only, okay, it is the place of Maya because it has the Prauda Maya deity presiding it, which is Yoga Maya, it's Krishna's internal potency, so it's Mayapur. It's also Mayapur because it's a place of great mercy. Lord Chaitanya, out of compassion, he came here. And he started the Yuga Dharma, and he gave us, he started the Sankirtana movement. So it's a place of compassion, mercy. Also it is the place of spiritual knowledge, because wisdom and spiritual knowledge is also meaning of Maya. So it was in Lord Chaitanya's time, it was already a place of learning, and it is now, again it's become a place of learning. So we have projects like the Mayapur Institute, the Vaishnava Mayapur Academy, they are developing many projects of education, spiritual education. So that's a great field for us to work on, how to develop education in Mayapur, make it a center of learning, a center of spiritual education for the people all over the world. That's going on now, and it's a very important aspect of Mayapur project. And then also Gurukula, it's another such an important aspect of spiritual education. The children need to be trained. So all that is there. And also Atma Maya means the internal potency. which is Radharani. She is the personification of the internal potency, Krishna Swarupa Shakti. So it's explained also that Mayapur was created by Radharani. So this is the place that she created to attract Krishna. Right? So in this way you have so many ways to meditate on Mayapur Dham, and so many ways to try to understand what Mayapur Dham is, and try to understand how can we serve and take part in this project, no? Take part in somehow serving the Holy Dham, serving the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because the desire of the Lord is there. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, they want that this holy place will flourish. They want that the whole world will be overflooded by spiritual knowledge. And he wants the Sankirtan movement to spread from Mayapur everywhere. No? So the predictions are all there, so many of them. The Adbhuta Mandir will appear in Mayapur Dham. And from the Adbhuta Mandir, then the Sankirtan movement will spread. So what we see nowadays is just the beginning. No? Much more has to come. Once the big temple is there, then from Mayapur Dham, the Sankirtan movement, all that ecstasy of the Sankirtan movement will overflow and cover the earth. So that's the plan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the prediction of Nityananda Prabhu. And we are here and we can take part in it. So that's the nice thing, no? We don't have to be concerned whether it's going to happen or not. No, because if the Lord wants, it's going to happen. We may take part in it, or we may not take part in it. We may take the mercy, or lose the opportunity, miss the opportunity. But the desire of the Lord is going to take place. So being here means that you have the good fortune of being in the place where all this is taking place. And you have the opportunity to engage in the Lord's service and participate in this great project, then it's just a matter of being able to become a qualified recipient of the mercy. The mercy will flow. It is already flowing, and it's going to flow more and more and more, and you have to become good recipients so that you can capture that, you can retain that, and you can also distribute for others. So this is Atma Mayaya. Then Prabhupada also makes another point in the purport, that here the glorifiers, no, the Magadhas, the Vandis, they are professional reciters of prayers. They are trained how to glorify the king. But even though they are very learned, they are very qualified, but they feel they are unable to glorify King Prithu properly, because he is the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is a Shakti Avesha Avatar, and the Lord is glorified by even great devotees like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and even Lord Ananta with unlimited mouths. He is trying to glorify the Lord, and he cannot come to the end. From time immemorial, he is reciting the glories of the Lord, and they have no end. So they feel that, how can we glorify you properly? It's actually not possible. But then Prabhupada explains very nicely in the end of the purport that by glorifying the Lord with exalted verses, one becomes purified. Although we are unable to offer prayers to the Lord in an adequate fashion, our duty is to make the attempt in order to purify ourselves. So it's a very important process, Vandanam, one of the 9 processes of devotional service. How to praise the Lord, how to glorify Him. And it's explained in the Nectar of Devotion that you can do it in 2 different ways. No? We can offer our own prayers, and we can also offer prayers by great personalities. For example, Lord Brahma was cited here as an example. And Lord Brahma, he gave us the Brahma Samhita, great prayers glorifying the Lord, perfect prayers. So we can recite the Brahma Samhita, and you can recite prayers by different devotees who have engaged so nicely in describing the glories of the Lord. And by repeating their words, we can become purified. So that is recommended. Rupa Goswami wrote so many wonderful prayers, and Jiva Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami, and all of them, all our acharyas, they wrote beautiful prayers glorifying Krishna. And you can take advantage of them and recite those prayers again and again as a daily practice. And in this way you become purified. And as we recite these prayers, what we do is that we start imbibing the same mood that our acharyas have, no? So we shouldn't recite any prayers or sing any songs. There are millions of songs glorifying Krishna. But doesn't mean that all the songs are good, or not all the songs may be favorable for our spiritual practice. No? There are songs written by people in general, like cinema songs, glorifying Krishna. But there is no guarantee that these songs will bring the proper Siddhanta. Maybe they speak about Krishna, and there is something good there, because whenever the name of Krishna is there and descriptions of Krishna are there, it's always good. But not necessarily the Siddhanta will be perfect, because the author may not have a clear understanding. He may present wrong ideas mixed with his good intentions in glorifying the Lord. But if we sing the prayers composed by liberated souls like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottama Das Thakur, then these prayers, they have great spiritual potency, and they carry the perfect Siddhanta. They are as good as Shastra. And by reciting them, we also learn what's the right Siddhanta. So, not only get purified, but also we get instructed by reciting this kind of prayer. And as we start getting enlightened, and we understand the Siddhanta, then we can also offer our own prayers. And Prabhupada says here then in the end, that if we are serious and sincere devotees, the Lord will give us the intelligence to offer prayers properly. Dadami buddhiyogantam yanamam upayantite. Right? So if you are sincere, if you are always engaged in Krishna service and we want to glorify Him, Krishna will give us the intelligence how to do that. And of course, another point about glorifying is that it's not only with words that we can glorify. We can also glorify Krishna by our actions. We can go on around the world doing different activities in Krishna consciousness, and we can, like that, glorify Krishna. If you go anywhere, and as devotees we perform nice service, people will appreciate that, and that is a glorification of Krishna. So the Sankirtana movement is not only chanting the holy name, but is glorifying the Lord in so many different ways. So constructing a big temple for Krishna is a way of glorifying the Lord. Being a good example of a devotee is a way of glorifying the Lord. So, in so many ways you can see, how can I glorify the Lord? And that desire should be there. No? How can I somehow or another do something to glorify Krishna? And if you can somehow glorify Krishna, then Krishna is very pleased. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that those who share this message, those who teach the message of the Bhagavad Gita to others, they are the most dear devotees. No one can be more dear than one who tries to share the message with others. And that's the nicest thing about spiritual knowledge. No? Material things, like if I have 1,000 rupees and I start giving here 100, 100, 100, in the end I have nothing. Finished. If I have a basket of cakes and I start distributing, in the end, nothing. So any material object, if you give, you have less. The more you give, the less you have. Right? But spiritual knowledge, the more you give, the more you have. That's a nice thing, no? If I know one shloka and I come and I teach someone that shloka, that means now I know the shloka even more. It's more deeply staying in my mind, right? The more you give, the more you have. The more you try to share, to explain the science of Krishna consciousness, the more you understand it. So once Burijana Prabhu, he was living in a farm and they're trying to have a simple living, high thinking. So he decided to learn how to make bricks. And he got some mud and he made the brick and he cooked the brick and then he came to Prabhupada and he showed, Prabhupada, look, I made a brick. You think you can use this to construct our buildings here? And then Prabhupada looked and said, yes, very nice. So you learn and teach others. So in that moment was a brick, how to make a brick. But then later on, when Burijan Prabhu started the Vrindavana Institute for Higher Education, no? He started teaching Bhakti Shastri. And then he remembered that instruction, you should learn and teach others. And that became the motto for the VIHG, learn and teach others. So it's like that, we should try to understand the Bhagavatam, we should try to apply in our lives, and we should also try to teach others. All this spiritual knowledge, no, is basically these three things. If you can understand the philosophy that Prabhupada gave us, the philosophy that the Bhagavatam is giving to us, if you can apply that in our lives, and then we can share with others, that's the perfection of life. Basically, that's the main responsibility that we have as followers of Srila Prabhupada. There are unlimited services we can offer, but to understand the message clearly, to apply that in our lives and to share with others, that's the essence. Now, if you can do that, then the movement will go on. The moment that the message is lost, then Krishna has to start a new parampara. But as long as there are sincere devotees who actually understand this message, who live that message in their own lives, and who keep sharing with others, then the movement will be alive, will be spreading, will be growing. So that's it's a very important thing. I had another point about Maya that I was trying to remember. Atma Maya, yeah. So basically the two main points that we just discussed now were, first was about the meaning of Maya, that is means so many things, and you have to understand according to the context. So in this context we can take it as Prabhupada took here as the mercy, the Lord is coming by His own causeless mercy, and He's coming here to also, is an expression of His internal energy. So Maya is not only Mahamaya, the external potency, it's also Yoga Maya, the internal potency. And through that Yoga Maya, you know, which is personified by Srimati Radharani, then Krishna is engaging us in devotional service. So Avatatara Mayaya means that the Lord, no, He's coming down to this world out of His mercy. And when He comes, that manifestation is an expression of His internal potency. So that's basically the translation here. And Krishna is not only coming as, like here we are speaking about Prithu Maharaj, so he's a Shakti Vesha avatar, that's one type of avatar. He also comes as different Lila avatars, as Prabhupada mentioned, Matsya avatar, Varaha avatar. Krishna also comes as so many types of avatars, the Yuga avatars, Guna avatars, Manvantara avatars. He comes also as Nama avatar, the holy name. He comes as the Arsha Vigraha, another incarnation of Krishna. He comes as Srimad Bhagavatam. No? In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it's explained that when Krishna Swadhamo Pagate, when he went back to his own abode, Jnana Dharma Dibisaha, taking with him knowledge, religion, etc. Kalau Nashta Drisham Meshapura Narko Dunoditaha. Then the Srimad Bhagavatam arise in the horizon of the Kali Yuga to give light to those who had lost their vision due to the deep darkness of Kali Yuga. So Srimad Bhagavatam